which is the Jewish way of putting someone to death, especially somebody who speaks blasphemy, right? But they found out about it, and they fled. They left. They didn't stand and take it. They fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. In Lystra, there was a man crippled in his feet, right? And we're in the right place, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down in human form." The gods. These people were used to the Greek mythological gods, right? So Barnabas, they called Zeus. He got to be the head. And Paul, they called Hermes, or Apollo, a few times, but the one who speaks for the God, because Paul, at this point, is doing the speaking, right? Because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Now, this sounds really, really, really strange. And it is really, 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 really strange. But in ancient history, there's a mythology about Zeus and Hermes coming down and not being recognized in human form, and they smote that area, including the priest of the temple in this area. So they didn't want to make that mistake again. They just saw something that you're not going to see. I mean, the man was lame from birth, jumped up, and he walks now. So they figured, yeah, oh, we're being tested again. So bulls and wreaths. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in it. In the past, he let all nations go their way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provided you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy." Even with these words, they had trouble, difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Yeah, how do you get this idea out of their mind? No, we are just humans, and we're talking to you about the God who created, not these gods that you've been following. And you know, I told you that they're not very moral gods. I mean, it's hard to follow a God that might sleep with your wife or steal your stuff. Or I mean, the Greek mythological gods were awful. They really were. He said, but now we called you to repentance. God has always cared about you. He gave you rain and all. And now here's the good news. And they had a hard time because these people were still steeped in this, that they didn't want to get in trouble with Zeus and Hermes. But they succeeded. And then in verse 19, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. Are we going to do this next verse? We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to take you on a little journey here because Paul just got stoned. Not the kind of stoning that we talk about now. And I always had to deal with this when I was a stone mason. I would have to tell them, I'm a mason who works with stone. I'm not a stoned mason. Okay, that seems to happen a lot, though. But Paul just got stoned. And it turns out this is the only time he was stoned. But I want you to think about the mission world for a minute. And I want to look at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to go ahead and take the time to look it up so I don't have to keep turning around, and I know Bill can keep up with me. He says, we're going to start in verse 23. Are these servants of Christ? This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. I am out of my mind to speak this way. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently. This is what it's like to be a missionary, okay? Been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Remember they did that to Jesus, right? They whip you with this cord, and they figured out that, you know, if you go over more than 40, it might kill you, so they back off and only do 39. He says, 5 times I was lashed that way. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Okay, this is a weird one. This is the Roman part of it. Have you ever, you remember lictors? Okay, in the Roman government, you had lictors who would mete out punishment. And they carried a bundle of rods, which, you know, sticks, right? And there was a size about how big that stick had to be and all that good stuff. And they would follow around behind the senators and people of authority and protect them, and it represent their ability to punish. Now, this might help you. Have you ever heard the phrase, you took their licking? Yeah, it's from the lictors. Yeah, remember the Timex watch takes the licking and keeps on ticking? Okay. And they would beat you with these sticks, these rods. Yeah, a lot of fun. So he said that I only had to do that 3 times. Once I was stoned. We just read about that. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, dangers from bandits, dangers from my own countrymen, and dangers from Gentiles, and danger in the city, and danger in the country, and danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. Does it sound dangerous? I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. How many of you want to be a missionary? Yeah. You know, when we put out the shine, the update that we put out, we always attach the thing from Global Ministries to it. So you can read what the missionaries are doing and our mission partners. And you have to read all the way to the bottom to see who wrote that, because there's a format. I wrote several of those things. You know, you start with a prayer and then kind of a what's going on with the missionary partners and what you got going. And if you read down the bottom, you'll see that, okay, this missionary has been there and supported by you through Global Ministries and all that. And if you just take some time and just pray for them. I mean, it's not like this anymore, but it's still dangerous and still being far away from people that you love and people who understand you in a different culture. I think this week we're playing for Botswana, okay, and Phyllis, I think. At any rate, it helps you remember that missions are still going on. That people care enough about the message to take it into dangerous places so people can know about Jesus. At any rate, let's go back to Acts. Acts chapter 15, or 14 rather, because we're going to see something amazing happen. And that is, after the disciples gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. So they didn't do a great job stoning him. They must have knocked him out or something. And it's always made me wonder if this is where some of his eye problems came from. You know, Paul had problems with his eyes. He writes some in the back of his letter, said, yeah, this is how I write. I, Paul, am signing this thing. See how large I write? He writes to the Galatians and says, I can attest that you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. Yeah. Got some large rock landed somewhere. Don't know if that's the whole thing or not, but it's an interesting because this is in Galatia. Lystra and Derbe are in Galatia. It says in verse 21, here we go. They preached the good news in that city, Derbe, and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples, encouraged them to remain true to the faith. Okay, so he went back. He went back to the town that he was stoned in. He went back to the town of Antioch where they first planned to stone him. That's gutsy. But he wanted to encourage the disciples, those believers. He says, to remain true to the faith, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. They just saw Paul go through a severe hardship. He says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord to whom they had put their trust. Okay, this is an interesting thing. The elders. You know, we have elders here. We acknowledge, we actually nominate and confirm that we would go to these people for spiritual advice. But Paul writes to Timothy and he writes to Titus about qualifications for elders, people who are spiritually mature enough, because he's leaving and his email account doesn't work. And they're on a different phone system. I mean, seriously, he's going to be out of touch with these churches. So he makes sure that there are some spiritually mature people who have the Spirit of God. And he says, these are the people you listen to. These are the people you come to for advice. So he points them. It says here, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord. And then it says, after going through Pisidia, they came down to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch. Okay, that's the first thing that Luke really hasn't got geographically correct. You can't sail all the way to Antioch. But did I tell you that this is one of the hardest books to read in Greek? And a lot of it's because of these directions and names and things. But usually Luke is that precise. They sailed to this town, they got off the boat, and then they went to Antioch. But at any rate, he was excited about getting back to Antioch. He says, from Attalia they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them, and now he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Wow. Quite a missionary journey. Yeah. Not the only missionary journeys going on. There are other apostles going to other parts of the world. There are other people going to, but we followed Paul and Barnabas into Asia Minor, into Galatia, and seen what they've done. We've seen when God confirmed things with them by signs and wonders. It wasn't always there. We saw that they figured out this routine. If there's a Jewish synagogue, they'll go first there and they'll talk to the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks. And when they're rejected there, they'll go to the Gentiles. So they have this kind of game plan now. And they've got a lot of miles under their belt here. But they came home. They came back to their commissioning church. Can you imagine what that would feel like? Can you imagine how nice it would be to sing the hymns that they knew, that they sang together, to see the faces of people that they had witnessed to and maybe baptized. You know how sweet it would have been to commune with them. After all those miles, all those years, all those dangers, all of those things that went on, the reason they do it is what we look at every Sunday when we commune. How sweet that would be. And it was a beautiful, beautiful time. And now there are Gentiles and Jewish believers in Asia Minor who trust in Jesus, and churches that have a message to take out. This morning, we're going to take communion together. Yeah. You know, all the problems aren't solved. Chapter 15, some big stuff coming up. But we'll have to wait for 2 weeks unless you want to read ahead. You can read ahead. It's okay. And there's always going to be problems. And there's always going to be something. But we can always focus on what we have in common. And that we needed Jesus to do what he did to take away our sins. We needed Jesus to give us faith. We needed Jesus to give us hope. We needed Jesus to teach us love. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, love. So we love to be together. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to take a little piece of bread and remember the body of Jesus, and a little bit of juice to remember the life, the sacrifice he made for us. And hopefully it's meaningful for you, and sometimes it's more meaningful than others, but just remember how sweet it would be to come back and do it with people that you love and have grown spiritually with. We're going to ask our music team to come up and lead us together.